in fact, I was telling Ellie that, this has been at least 25 years ago, he helped me get that, I call it the yellow book back there, Training Your Children to Turn Out Right, that book into print, and from there has come about 85,000 other books in print. And our books go all over the world, all over the country. And while I'm on that subject, commercial time, we interrupt this message to present this important. But the books on the table there, like I say, they go all over America. And ladies, you will be happy to know that they are all on sale. Cheaper than you can get them on Amazon, cheaper than you can get them even off our website. And secondly, we do take plastic. We do take credit cards. I'll say more about the Independent Baptist commentary a little later on today, but it's unique. It's a Baptist commentary, King James based, pre-tribulation rapture, baptism by immersion. You don't find many commentaries. In fact, you won't find any commentaries out there like that. And so it's there today. But anyway, we're delighted to be here. My dear wife Pam is here. We're coming up on 50 years of marriage. And stand up, sweetheart. And one of the books on the table is entitled Have a Heavenly Marriage. And it's God has given us a heavenly marriage. And I say this all over the country. It's all her fault. And that book is published by the Sword of the Lord, by the way. But anyway, delighted to be here. And been a good friend with Pastor Clear, and we're just delighted. I'm the pastor emeritus of North Star Baptist Church in Duluth, retired there as senior pastor several years ago, about 3 years ago, and Stephen King, my successor, is carrying on the job and doing a good work there, and we still live in Duluth, which is the coldest city in the lower 48 statistically. And up in Duluth, many are cold, but few are frozen, folks. But nevertheless, okay, time we have, turn to Romans chapter 12, a very familiar portion of God's Word. You probably know these two verses by heart, and that's good. But I'd like to touch on it here this morning. This could turn into a sermon, I'll pretend I'm a teacher here today, not a preacher, okay? But Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our Father, this morning, as we look at this familiar portion of thy word, I would ask our Father that you'll give us insight and understanding. Bless in this hour, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you notice that Romans 12 starts with a fourth word, therefore. And I had a professor who once said, when you see a therefore, pause and consider why it's there. Chapters 9 through 11 of Romans deals with how God has not cast off his people Israel, though they were rebellious and disobedient and even crucified God's son. Nevertheless, God has not cast off Israel, and he has been merciful to Israel. And Paul's point here, beginning chapter 12, is this. Even though God has been merciful to Israel, he's merciful to us. And he says, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God. Just as God was merciful to Israel, he's been merciful to us. And he says, I beseech you, therefore, I urge you, therefore, by the mercies of God. Now, when Jesus gave the Great Commission there in Matthew chapter 28, he said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. In other words, Jesus said, teach them to obey what I have commanded you. And years ago as a pastor, and God has blessed, we've been in a pastoral ministry now in one way or another for about 50 years. My father was a pastor for 50 years before that, and my grandfather 50 years before that. But I noticed, or I began to notice, the imperatives in the New Testament. Now, some of you have had some Bible training and Greek training and so forth, and you know that particularly in the original language, when it is in the imperative mode, it basically is a commandment. And so where Jesus said, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, if we believe the New Testament is inspired and that our Lord is ultimately the author, notice in this verse, these two verses, there are three imperatives. Number one, he said, present your bodies, rather, a living sacrifice. Now, in the Old Testament, as you know, there were numerous blood sacrifices. And by the time the sacrifice got to the altar, it was dead. But God isn't calling for us to be a dead sacrifice. He's calling for us to be a living sacrifice. And he's speaking here in verse 1 particularly about our bodies. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. And the word present can lead to the idea of yield or surrender yourselves. Your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, if we'd go back to the book of Leviticus today, and we're not going to turn there, but there in Leviticus 3, we read about the sweet savor sacrifices. That is, they were sacrifices that were pleasing to God. And I think this lends itself here to present our bodies a living sacrifice, something that is, as we'll see momentarily, pleasing to God. And so he says, present your bodies. In a moment, we're going to get to our minds. But here in verse 1, he's talking about our bodies. Present your bodies specifically as holy. H-O-L-Y. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. Now, how we ought to yield our bodies as holy. Not stained by dirty habits. I was in a church in Ohio last week, and a guy walked up to me. In fact, he was a pastor's son, a middle-aged man, that is the son, and the pastor's a senior. And I've probably told you too much already. But the guy reeked with smoke. I mean, I knew right now that guy used tobacco. Well, folks, tobacco is unclean. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. Bodies not stained by dirty habits. Bodies not polluted with intoxicants. By the way, think of the word intoxication for just a moment. What is the root word in intoxication? Toxic. And I hear Christians today talking about, well, we can drink alcoholic beverages, and as long as we do it in moderation. Folks, the Bible doesn't teach that. Not polluted with intoxicants. And now we, in this crazy world in which we live, people are now, I think even this state is considering legalizing marijuana. Another intoxicant. I began my college career at a place called Bradley University in Peoria, Illinois. Now, this is before the Lord got a hold of my life and put me in the ministry. But I was majoring in engineering, electrical engineering, as I began college, and wound up taking a sophomore chemistry class my freshman year, and just for scheduling conflicts and so forth. And in the spring semester of the year, our professor, he was a man by the name of Dr. Singh, S-I-N-G-H. He was from India. He had a Ph.D. in chemistry. And as we got into organic chemistry, that led to the study of alcohol. Now, I'm talking about chemically. And there are a number of alcohols chemically. And he was dealing with two in particular. One is called methyl alcohol and another is called ethyl alcohol. And he pointed out to the class that ethyl alcohol is the type of alcohol in beverage alcohol. In other words, what people drink. But he said, class, methyl alcohol, sometimes called wood alcohol, the stuff they sell in hardware stores and it's used as a solvent. He said, class, methyl alcohol is a deadly poison. He said, you drink that stuff and you'll be dead by morning, or at the worst, or at the least, I should say, you'll be blind. Again, this is a secular university. Hand goes up in the back of the room. Dr. Singh, why is methyl alcohol a deadly poison and ethyl alcohol is not? I'll never forget what he said. He said, class, they are both poisons. One just works faster than the other. And that's true. Yeah, you can. A guy can, some homeless drunk on the railroad tracks and drink methyl alcohol and be dead the next morning. But we live in a world awash in ethyl alcohol. That is beer and wine and whiskey and all the. And Christians are dabbling in that stuff. I mean, there are groups within evangelical Christianity today that not only tolerate social drinking, they advocate or encourage social drinking. I could go on and tell you story after story in that regard. I won't. But present your bodies. Bodies that are acceptable unto God. Not only holy, but acceptable. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy. Acceptable unto God. I think our bodies ought to be acceptable, for example, in how we dress. Modestly rather than immodestly. Do we dress more like the world or less like the world? Are we following the fashions of the devil's crowd or are we trying to dress for the Lord? Present our bodies acceptable. And then notice, he said, for which is your reasonable service. It's just reasonable after all he's done for me that I should present my body holy and acceptable unto him. We used to sing that chorus years ago, after all he's done for me, after all he's done for me, how can I do less than give him my best and live for him completely after all he's done for me? And that's true. 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. To live for him. It's our reasonable service. After all he's done for me. After all he's done for me. How can I do less than give him my best and live for him completely? After all he's done for me. Folks, it's our reasonable service. And so the first imperative here today is to present your bodies a living sacrifice. But notice the second imperative here this morning, and be not conformed to this world. Now, as the verse moves on, we'll see that he's dealing here more with our mind than our body. Be not conformed to this world. Now, in the scripture, when we read about the world, it's not talking about planet Earth. It's not talking about terra firma. It's talking about the culture and the society of the ungodly. And when you walk out the door here today, folks, you're walking right back into the world. The truth of the matter is, we are in the world, but we ought not be part of it. And certainly not conformed to it. The world, the Greek word there is cosmos, from which the English word cosmopolitan derives. The world system. And we read here, be not conformed. Shaped, molded in our thinking, in our philosophy. You say, Brother Sorensen, I am not a philosopher. No, you may not be, but you do have a philosophy. Our philosophy is the way we think. And we ought not be conformed to this world, to its mores and its morals, or the lack thereof. We as fundamentalists get accused of trying to live back in the 1950s. Back in the 1950s, the illegitimacy rate in America was 3%. Do you know what it is today? It's over 40%. I'll take the culture of the 1950s, folks. Be not conformed to this world, its educational system. We could get off on that here today, and I believe in Christian education. And I'm thankful that our girls were either raised or taught in Christian schools or home schools. And Dr. Ed had a lot to do with that here in the state of Minnesota, and working with the legislature and passing laws that protect Christian schools and homeschooling. But be not conformed to this world. Look, this is the adult Sunday school class. You weren't out partying at the nightclubs last night. But there are Christians who were. Be not conformed to this world. And we live in a system today with all the political correctness about abortion and pornography and transgenderism. You know, 10 years ago, nobody ever heard of that. It's something that's popped up in the last 5 or 6 years. But it's of the world's philosophy. Homosexuality and homosexual marriage. I mean, 10, 15 years ago, who would ever thought that? I mean, homosexual marriage? Folks, it's now the law of the land. How disgusting. We have a guy running for president of the United States who's married to another man. We have the same thing in Duluth. We're a city council member. And his husband. How abominable that is. Be not conformed. We had a family move to Duluth. Keep looking at my watch here because I've been told what time I'm supposed to stop. And there's no clock back here. I was at a church in Arkansas a couple years ago. Folks, they didn't have a clock on the back wall. They had a calendar on the back wall. And that's the truth. But we had a family move to Duluth some years ago from Nigeria. Now, how someone moved from equatorial Nigeria to a place like Duluth, Minnesota, I don't know. But sweet people, and they had been reached by missionaries in Nigeria. And he was a colonel in the Nigerian army and later a United Nations official, and she was a school teacher. And they came to America little by little, but finally the whole family was here, and I had the privilege of baptizing some of them. But anyway, their junior high boy, who went to the public schools there in Duluth, and of course was in the youth class in Sunday school, and the Sunday school teacher one day, the lesson lent itself to homosexuality, and was teaching that it was wrong, and it's not of God, and how the Bible says God created male and female created he him. And this little guy was aghast, because all he had heard in the public school was that people are born that way, and that's their civil right, and we need to tolerate that. But folks, that's the world's philosophy. Be not conformed to this world. And so imperative number one here this morning is to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Imperative number two this morning is be not conformed to this world and all that goes on out in the world. But here's imperative number three this morning, but be transformed. After we get saved and we allow God to work on our lives, our life needs to start changing, I should say. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Our kids in junior church used to, maybe they still do, I don't know, sing the little song, "The things I used to do, don't do them anymore. The places I used to go, don't go there anymore. The things I used to say, don't say them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again." Be transformed. And one of the great blessings in the ministry is to see how God transforms lives. If you were to come up to Duluth, and our brother here has been up there several times, in recent years, you'll be greeted at the door sooner or later by a black gentleman. Remember him? His name is Tyrone Walker. And his wife is an American Indian. They both are plastered with tattoos. The both of them. But Tyrone was, in fact, is a convicted felon. Attempted murder. He was a gangbanger in Chicago and here in the Twin Cities. Did time at the Minnesota State Penitentiary, whichever facility it was. I can't remember which. But folks, one day Tyrone Walker got saved. And when he got saved, folks, he got saved. And today he is an usher in our church. His wife sings in the choir and coordinates the nursery. Anytime the door is open, if Tyrone's not working, he is there. He's out knocking on doors with the pastor. He's helping in the bus ministry. He's bringing people to church. We had a service, or a baptismal service last summer, or a year ago last summer, and six adults got baptized, four of which Tyrone and his wife had led to Christ. And that couple has been transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And how exciting it is to work with them and help them and coach them. If you would come up to Duluth, he's not there all the time lately because he's been working on the ships. But you'd meet another guy by the name of Robbie Maynard. And Robbie Maynard's a big guy, about 6'4 or 5, and maybe upwards of 300 pounds, though I think he's lost weight lately. But Robbie Maynard, and I've heard him say this publicly, how that he was raised in Detroit, by the way, and how that he was a gangbanger. He did drugs. He sold drugs. He said, "I hated people." He said, "I shot at people." But one day, Robbie Maynard got saved. And God has changed that man's life. And he aspires to be a preacher. If a pastor in the state of Minnesota goes on vacation, and they sometimes call Robbie Maynard to come and fill the pulpit for them. If he can preach in the nursing home or preach anywhere, Robbie Maynard will go preach. He occasionally goes out and does evangelistic meetings in small churches. And God has transformed his life. And it's exciting to watch these folks, these younger Christians in the Lord. I remember, well, I'll continue here later on. Time is running here this morning. But be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. And notice he says, by the renewing of your mind. Now, how do we renew our mind? But I will suggest to you that we renew our mind, folks, by the time we spend here in the book. Time in the Word. Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. Well, how do we abide with him? By spending time with him. Going to his word, spending time in prayer, getting alone with the Lord. If you'd come by the hotel room this morning at 6 o'clock, you'd found Dave Sorensen in the word. When I was out in Ohio this past week, different time zone, I was in the word at about 6 o'clock each morning. When we were in Oregon a couple weeks ago, same thing, 2 hours difference, time zone in the other direction. in the Word every day. Start the day and try and spend time during the day. But it's how we are transformed by the it's how our mind is renewed. Where the spiritual strength, the spiritual grace to grow and overcome the world and all the problems out there. And I see Christians get into trouble. As a pastor, we've had folks, maybe not members of the church, but connected to the church one way or the other through family, they wind up in jail. And I've gone and visited with them, and I always ask this one question. I know what the answer is before I ask it. And I'll say, Dan or John or whatever the guy's name is, let me ask you something. Now, he's a professing Christian. I'll ask him, are you in the Word each day? And I know what he's going to tell me. He says, no. So that's why you're in trouble. Or the phone rings and someone says, Pastor, can my husband and I or my wife and I, whichever, come and talk to you? I know what it's about. They have marriage trouble. And so we sit down and talk. And sometimes it's hopeless. I mean, I'm sad to say I'm not a miracle worker, and I'm sad to say I have watched numbers of people over the years get divorced. And it's a tragedy, and it's always a heartache. But anyway, as I try to work with them, I'll ask the same question. I'll say, John and Sue, or whatever their name is, let me ask you something. Are you folks in the Word every day? Answer's always the same, no. We are transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that comes as we spend time with the Savior each day. Ephesians 4:23 says, and be ye renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's how we go from the old nature to the new nature. Now, notice number four this morning, the result. The result. Notice here in verse 2, that, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That, and the thought is, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That you may prove, and the idea is that you may determine, that you may find out that good and perfect, or good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And the greater thought here in this verse is that when there is sin in our bodies, it often inhibits or prohibits us from finding God's will in our lives. And when we are conformed to this world and have absorbed its philosophies and its morals or lack thereof, it likewise inhibits us from finding God's will. And so God's word is very practical. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, that ye may prove or find out or determine that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, God's will is good. I realize I don't think we have any young people in this room here this morning. I kind of get that idea. But young people, Christian young people, oftentimes are afraid to surrender to God's will. Because, why, if I surrender to God's will, he's going to make me be a missionary to Afghanistan. Or go start a church in the inner city of Chicago. Well, maybe, but probably not. But the point is this, whatever God's will is, folks, it's good. It'll be good for us. It's acceptable. And it's perfect. We'll be the happiest when we're doing God's will. When I was in high school, and as I said, I was a preacher's kid, and I'm sorry to say that in my teenage years, I was a rebellious preacher's kid. And as I said, I went off to a secular university rather than go off to Bible college. But when I was in high school, they had us take a class called vocations. That sounds like an exciting class. And it was the whole idea of the class was to try and determine or help us determine what our interest in life might be for a profession or a vocation or what we were going to do after we got out of high school. And I remember once we took a test in there that was supposed to analyze or help us analyze our interest. And folks, in my mind, the bottom of the list, I mean, the rock bottom below zero on that list was go into ministry. That's the last thing that I wanted to do. You say, oh man, you've been in the ministry now for about 50 years. You must be really miserable. No. I wouldn't want to have it any other way, folks, because I finally found out God's perfect will for my life. And God's will is always the best. I'll say this. When in the early years in the ministry, I'd come out of seminary and went back and worked with my father in Illinois and had one of the great churches. In fact, one of the books back there is called Winning People to Christ, Lost Secrets of the Past. And I account in there and recount in there how that church there in Illinois, we saw hundreds and thousands of people get saved. And how the church grew and grew and grew and grew. And I mean, and but anyway, where I'm going with all of this, and I got to quit. The last thing I ever wanted to do was pastor a church in Minnesota. Because it's not easy plowing here in Minnesota. And I knew that. I mean, in the land of Lutherans and Catholics, so up in Duluth, the city is 50% Lutheran, 40% Catholic, and 10% everything else, 1% Baptist of any flavor. It's a hard place to start an independent Baptist church. The last thing I wanted to do was pastor church, and the second last thing I ever wanted to do was start a church. Well, what did God have me do? Start a church in Minnesota. But he's blessed us. And it's been an adventure, trust me, more ways than one. I mean, in Duluth, it's been uphill all the way. But we are happy there because that was God's will. And so here this morning, just a simple formula, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Point number one, be not conformed to this world, our mind, our philosophies, our thinking, our values. Point number two, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Point number three, and it's that or so that we can determine or prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What a simple and blessed thought here. I think it's time to stop. Father, now thank you for the opportunity to speak to this Sunday school class and this good church. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.